Aloha Church, it's good to be with you again. As we begin worship today, I would invite you to please stand and pray with me. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you that we get to worship with our family. Thank you, God, for your presence. We long to meet you today. We long to hear from you today, to know your heart, to sing your praise.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Shine, but God who Good morning, San Jose family, and good afternoon, New Vine family. It's so good to be worshiping with you again. We have a little bit of a change of scene. You see this backdrop. This is actually for our annual Kids Adventure Camp. Our team has been putting a lot of effort bringing this our annual Kids Adventure Camp to online. So if you have not signed up, please go ahead and do so right after the service. It's going to be a great one. Let's now come together to the table of the Lord. We have not been able to break bread together and partake in communion for almost 2.5 months now, but it does not mean that our fellowship is broken. In fact, I believe that our bond of fellowship has become even stronger in times like this. And it is actually the broken body of Christ and the cup of his blood that he shed for us that brings us closer together. So from wherever you are, let's prepare our hearts. You know that our nation right now is in desperate need of God's healing. And I don't know of any other way. We can go out and protest and we can do a lot of different things, but our first response is really to own our own sin and humble ourselves. And when we confess, the Lord promised us that he will heal our land. So this morning and this afternoon, I really want to take this time for us to really come in a posture of repentance and humility before the Lord. As we bring our own sin and even the sins of our nation, let's ask the Lord, let's desperately cry out together that the Lord will bring his healing and restore the peace upon this land. Will you just take a few moments right now from wherever you are, whether you're a family or individuals, let's just take some time seeking God's face, doing business with him, coming before the cross, and then we'll partake in this communion together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup and he said, "This is my covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together and let's dip it in the cup and let's partake it. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. We thank you for this broken body and this cup that holds the shed blood, that brings us together, that restores our peace, that heals us from our brokenness, and that gives us new life. Father, we take this bread and take this cup not just for ourselves today, but Lord, as God's people come into a posture of humility and repentance, we confess the sins of our nation and we ask for your healing upon this country, upon our society, upon our cities, upon our community, Lord. And we intercede on behalf of our country right now that this will be a time of revival. That as your church rises up, that once again, this nation will turn back to you and that you will restore the peace. You'll restore your favor that you once poured out upon us, Lord. So we humble ourselves and we listen to what you have to say to us in this season. And we thank you for the life that comes from our communion. We thank you for the gift of fellowship that we still share. Strengthen us today as we pay attention to your word and as we worship you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. In the next few weeks, we also want to hear from different people what God has been really speaking to them and what they've been learning in this season. So we're going to start with the testimony from one of our youth, Joe Chang is going to share his testimony, and then we'll hear God's word together.
Hey, church family. If you guys don't know me, I'm Joe. I'm currently 16 years old, and I'm going to be a junior next year in high school. And today, I'm just going to share a little testimony about what I've learned during this COVID-19 season. So, when all this COVID-19 started, I had a lot of big plans. So I play basketball for my school's basketball team, and as a junior, I'm going to enter varsity. So I had big plans to get buff. Yeah, so I was planning to do a lot of exercising, do a lot of strength exercises, do a lot of running. I just really want to get fit for the incoming season to play against those really big dudes. So anyway, I started running, and after one of these runs, I started noticing these little red dots on my skin. I wasn't too concerned about it at first. I just thought maybe it was like a bug bite or something like that. But then after a 7-mile run, so my suggestion to you kids, don't run 7 miles if you're not a runner. So after a 7-mile run, the dots just increased in size. They're like blemishes, they're all over my skin. My feet were getting really swollen. And that's when we contacted Dr. Lawrence, or Uncle Lawrence, as some of you guys might know him. And I'm really thankful for him. He really jump-started the whole process of all these doctors looking out for me. And he sent me over to the rheumatologist. And basically, she overlooked me. And then she determined it was something called vasculitis. And if you don't know what vasculitis is, it's basically where the blood cells in my skin, they start attacking each other. Which causes internal bruising. And so I went to doctor after doctor, had to get blood test after blood test, steroid after steroid. I didn't get any buffer from the steroids. They're some other type of steroid. But yeah, they weren't working too well, you know. And I was just really confused during that time. I was just confused why I was going through this. I was a bit frustrated that I couldn't walk around because my feet were so swollen to the point where I couldn't even walk properly around the house. I had to get a lot of help from my family, and it was just a really frustrating process. But the two things I really learned from this experience is one, that the size of God's love, and two, the peace that He can bring you. So first about the love. So when I was at my lowest point, I think, and just so frustrated, God really illuminated His love. And I started getting all these texts from people saying they're praying for me. Auntie Katie, especially, she texted me that when she's praying, she heard that Jesus was praying on behalf of me as well. And I just want to say thank you to all you guys who've been praying for me. It's been a blessing. And through all of those texts and through all those messages, I just really felt God's love towards me. And I just realized that, you know, God's love was just over me during that time. And that even though I was going through this, His love never ended. Like, He wasn't hidden, but His love still continued even despite my condition. And two, I realized God's peace. So when those came really bad, I was pretty scared, you know. I thought it was something really life-threatening. My parents were scared. I was just scared that I wouldn't be able to play basketball again. But through all of it, I realized that the peace that God gives to us. And I think it's very applicable to this COVID-19 crisis. And what I realized is that peace is a promise that God keeps to us. If you look at the Bible, there's over 200 times the Bible repeats the word peace, and that goes to show that peace is something that's really prevalent throughout the Bible, and it's something we can hold on to. And even though we may not understand our condition, what we're going through, why we're going through it, I think it's important to know that God is with you, and that He has you, and He's got you in the grip of His hand. And I found that so comforting, that even though I was scared that things were out of my control, that this was something going to be dangerous and maybe I could die, but I don't know. But I just realized that God's hand was over me and that I was going to be okay no matter what, because His plans for me are perfect and I can trust Him. And I can trust that His peace, which surpasses all understanding, will come over me, and I can trust His perfect plans for me. And I just want to bless you guys, the church family, with that. And I pray that you guys will stay safe. And I can't wait to see you guys again. See you guys.
Hey, beloved church family. Welcome again to another wonderful Sunday where we can gather together and worship in our homes online. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the South Bay and the Greater Bay Area. I'm joined here in the sanctuary with Pastor John Mann, our new worship pastor, and it's so good to have him here. Last week, you only heard him as he led us in worship, but this week, you actually get to see him, and we're actually going to spend some time talking to him and getting to know him better. You know, instead of throwing him into the preaching circuit, we thought we would kind of ease him in, and he doesn't know this, but he's actually going to be preaching the sermon today through our time of conversation, through our sharing. But welcome, Pastor John, to SJCAC and to our New Vine family. It's really a privilege and joy to have you here. So we're really excited to be doing this with you. Now, as you may recall, Pastor John visited us back in February, but because it was the President's Day weekend, a lot of you may not have been here, or a lot of you were actually up in Lake Tahoe at the Youth Winter Retreat. So you may have not heard his entire story of how God's been working in his life, but especially during this time, today we're just gonna have a chat. We're gonna have a chat about faith in general, and just really, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of not knowing, where is God leading us and how is God building up our faith? And over the last 2 or 3 months or so, I've actually heard a lot of very encouraging faith stories. Most recently, one of our brothers was sharing with us that, he had been without a job and right before all of this happened, but then he actually found a job, but he did not feel at peace that that was the job that God was leading him to. So he declined that job, and then the shelter in place happened. And then he was thinking, oh no, how am I going to ever get a job when everything's being shut down? But what was so encouraging is that because he felt like God was not leading him to that first job, he just kept waiting and praying. And then most recently, God opened the doors, and not only did God give him one job, but God actually provided 3 opportunities for him, and he just started working at his new job this week. So a lot of faith stories that have been very encouraging and very uplifting. And I know, Pastor John, you have your own journey of faith, but you also have a very tremendous faith story that God has been writing in your life over the last, 6 months to a year?
Yeah, about a year now.
Especially the last few months, right? So I think, we just want to use this time to I'm going to ask him some questions, and then we're going to talk about faith. And as we begin, I want you to think about your own story of what God is doing in your life and how he is encouraging you in your faith, how he is asking you to, whatever he's asking you to do, how we can continue to place our trust in him, despite the fear, despite any uncertainty, despite any unknowns. Now, tell us a little bit more about yourself, John. Where you grew up, your family, how your upbringing was.
Yeah, so I lived most of my life in the Chicagoland area, very briefly lived in Hong Kong as a child, but for the most part have lived in and near or around the city of Chicago. My siblings still live there, and my mom has a home there, but she actually lives in Hong Kong right now.
And you're a pastor's kid, right? So you grew up in a Christian home. You grew up going to church pretty much all your life?
Yeah, pretty much. Raised in the church nursery, I guess. And we attended the Chinese church in Chicago's Chinatown for many, many years before I ended up at an Alliance church after college.
All right, and then how long have you been serving the Lord in ministry full-time?
Yep. So I served for about 12 years at Wheaton Chinese Alliance Church as in the youth ministry, both as an intern, youth director, and then youth pastor eventually.
Yeah, and I know that your heart has always been for the young ones, for the youth, and for the next generation. Now, I know that, just to rewind the timeline, you were here in February. You kind of, you spoke, you gave a sermon, you met people, and then you went back home. I think you were praying to where God was leading you next, right? I'm sure you had other opportunities. But walk us through the timeline. So February you were here, March, I think March you made a decision, mm-hmm. right? And then as we all know, in the middle of March, things began to shut down and we were sheltering in place, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I would have imagined that my last couple of months in Chicago would have been like this. As I began to hear clearly from God that this was the place where he was sending me, I responded back to the invitation to serve as worship pastor, I think on a Wednesday. And by Friday, that Friday, like California had locked down that Friday and then Chicago locked down, I think by Sunday. And so I spent the last 2 months or so trying to process moving across the country while at the same time having to survive this lockdown and, you know, move all of my stuff, but also was having a hard time saying goodbye to friends because I couldn't see them and wanted to spend time with them. But I think God used that time to really prepare me for this.
Yeah, because from my understanding, like, you grew up in the Chicago area. You've kind of never left that area, right? Yeah. So it's like moving across the country, you know, minus the whole pandemic, is in and of itself a big deal. But then coupled with this whole lockdown and the pandemic, my goodness, like, talk about faith. I think when I was thinking about you coming out and just being with us in this time, I was like, man, that really requires a lot of faith. And I mean, it's just basically like asking me to move to Chicago. And, you know, all my friends and family, my community is here, and it's asking me to uproot. I mean, you must have really heard from the Lord that this is the place that I want you to be.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't a one time I heard God say something and then, okay, everything was fine and I just was ready to move. I think it was a process of listening for God's heart and also really understanding that he was in this process with me, that he was walking with me on this journey and providing in ways that I was not expecting, showing up in things that I could not have anticipated. I had all these plans. I think when I responded to the invitation to serve, I had all these plans about, you know, making a trip out early to look for apartments or, you know, do all these things, how I was going to say goodbye to my friends. And within a week, all those things kind of went up in smoke. And I think I really had to just trust that God was in this, and that even if the circumstances around me made it seem like this was not the smartest time to move across the country, that it still was what God wanted.
Yeah, because it seems like from a human perspective, it wouldn't make sense, right? So kind of like, why would you move when everything is shut down? Why would you move? You don't know anyone. I mean, you know us kind of, sort of. Yeah. You know, we met a couple years ago, but you don't know me that well. You've met Pastor Ted, obviously, but like your whole family, your whole support network is in Chicago. From a human perspective, it just doesn't make sense that you would pack up and move halfway across the country.
Yes, and you are not the first person to say that to me, that this seemed like a, not crazy, but it was just didn't seem logical to make this decision. And I think for myself, I definitely approached it as, God, where do you want me to be? And if you want me there, then you have to make it really, really clear, because my heart and my head is telling me something else, that I want to be in another place. I want to stay home. I want to be comfortable. I want to be where I'm known and where I know things and know people. But I think through that, again, through this process, God has been saying, like, no, I want you to follow me and I want you to go where I'm sending you. Even from the very beginning of the process of leaving my church, the previous church that I was at, Wheaton Chinese Alliance Church, that whole process of even walking away from the youth ministry there and that job, God has used Genesis 12 in the narrative of Abram and how he calls Abram to leave his home, and just in a really powerful way in my own life. And so as I was reminded throughout this year of God's call to Abram and how my own story at different times seemed to mirror it, or at least I was being encouraged by that narrative, God kept doing that even in this last few months as I was moving out here.
I think one thing that you just said really stood out was basically like, you had to be really sure that God was leading you to move across the country. And it seems like God has also been using that same passage of Genesis 12, and he's woven that over the last, what, 6 to 9 months? Yeah. Is that right?
Yep.
So how did the Lord basically use that passage in your life to say, yes, this is really my leading? And how is it that you were able to still say, you know what, I feel very confident this is where I'm going, even though the country shut down, even though, you know, I don't know anyone there, but this is where God is leading?
Let me read it first.
Sure.
And then I'll unpack some of the parts that I think have been meaningful or have impacted me over the last year. So the passage is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, and it says this: "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev." I think about a year ago, as I was experiencing just the Lord's, I think he was making me uncomfortable in what I was doing, and using that to, or allowing me to be uncomfortable, and using that to get my attention. And throughout that season of discomfort, this passage in Genesis 12 kept coming back up. And I think, again, I had friends who were telling me, or even some of my mentors who said, it doesn't make sense to walk away from a position or a job, you know, providing for yourself without knowing what was on the other side.
From my understanding, you were thriving in your ministry. Like, it was, you loved what you were doing,
yeah.
You were happy, you know, but I guess there was a point of, you were saying, uncomfortable or something.
It wasn't circumstantial. It was just, I think it was God really pressing on my heart to say, I have something else for you. And I think the only way to get me to step out of what was comfortable, because I think most people enjoy being comfortable. The only way to step out of that was to make me uncomfortable. And so in my discomfort, I think I began to think logically. It doesn't make sense to leave a job that's secure. You don't know what's on the other side. You don't know how things are going to go. You could be unemployed for a long time. And God used this passage in Genesis 12 to say, you know, like to remind me that he called Abram without telling Abram where he was leading him, right? He just said, go and I'll show it to you. But it's not until Abram is there at the oak of Moreh, sitting under this tree in the land of Canaan, and God says, look around you. This is what I'm giving to you. And
so,
I think that
so Abram actually had to go
right
towards that area without a specific location in mind, but kind of towards that general area.
Yeah, and I think generally, like personally, I find it easier to follow someone when I know the end destination in mind, and when God calls, it for sure would be easier if I knew. If God could told me a year ago, like I'm gonna lead you to San Jose, I'm gonna do this, and this, and then I could prepare myself for it, that would have been so easy to say yes. But I think in that moment, that's not how God works, at least in my experience, it has not been how God has worked in my life. And I just had to trust him, and there were moments when it was hard to trust God, and I had to look back at this passage and cling to this scripture in Genesis 12 that God has done this before in the lives of other people. And he's done it before in my own life. And so I had to hold on to that.
What were some things that were going through your mind as you were wrestling with this decision? This thing about, you know, God maybe asking you to go somewhere, but he didn't say where yet. Like, what were some of the things going on that you had to wrestle through?
Yeah, I mean, I think even in leaving WCAC, I had a lot of dreams about where God would lead me next. And I had actually had a list of things that I wanted that I told the Lord, like, this is what I want, and I'm willing to give up some of the things, but just so you know, God, this is my list. And those included staying in youth ministry, staying in Chicago, and then the other two actually were continuing to serve in the Chinese church and staying in the Alliance family. And I think like those were things that I valued, things that I was passionate about. But I kind of knew from the beginning, I had this feeling like God was saying to me, I think I'm leading you to some, like, or I think he was leading me to something different, something new. And it was just this process of trying to figure out which of those things was God saying, I need you to surrender that to me, and I'm going to fill that with something else. I'm going to give you something else, give you a new vision or a new dream or a new passion, and you just have to trust me that I'm going to do it.
So there was a point of surrender that you just had to lay everything on the altar and say, okay, Lord, if this is what you're calling me to, then I'm going to have to trust you.
Yeah. And again, I want to be clear that wasn't one moment it happened and then everything changed. I think it was this process of wrestling with God, of going back and forth and saying, like, I see you're at work, but I still have some doubts. I still have some moments where I'm just not sure. And I think the beauty of who God is that he can handle the doubt that we have, that he can handle me being uncertain that, like, are you sure this is what you want for me? And he could handle me saying, like, if this is what you want, then you have to make it abundantly clear, because I, you know, I'm pretty stubborn and I have a hard time figuring out exactly what God wants for me right away. And so he has been gracious and has been, you know, walking me through that.
You know, and I think it's interesting that, you know, it's actually okay to wrestle, right? It's okay to ask God those questions, because like you said, he can handle it. You know, he knows our doubts, he knows our fears. And I think, you know, in our conversation previously, you had mentioned that, you know, every time there was a doubt, every time there was a fear or an uncertainty, God showed up in those places, right? God showed up in your doubt. God showed up in your uncertainty.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about how he did that.
Yeah, I think I'm a natural worrier, and there were moments when my worry would combine with doubt, that as I had concern about where was I going to live, what was
it going to be like? That's right, because you were planning to come out here in April to hunt for a place, to look for a place to live, but obviously that didn't happen because we were all sheltering in place.
Yeah.
So what? Tell us a little bit about that story.
So I, the plan to kind of hunt for an apartment was out the window, and so I was thinking, well, maybe I have to just fly or drive out in May sometime and just pray that I find something.
You could live at Pastor Ted's house.
Yeah, I think actually
right?
The plan was
they have an extra
I was
going
to crash with Pastor David.
And well, one of the
crash
pastors.
At his home, but or maybe like sleep in the church parking lot or something. I don't know. A few weeks or about a month before I came out here, I actually had one of my former students sent me a message, and she said their family had moved out to California a few years ago, and she had heard that I was heading out west. And so she said that her mom actually had an apartment for rent, and the previous tenants had just moved out or were about to move out in early April. And so I think without me even looking, I mean, I was looking, but not anticipating this provision. And God provided for me. And I think it came at a time when I was like, God, I'm not sure. And he said, no, I'm sure. And this is why. And I think like I want to be careful, because I don't want it to seem like when God wants you to do something, he just makes it really easy, or he provides every single thing for you. That's not always the case. In this specific instance, God definitely provided. He opened the door for me to find a place to live that's super close to church. That is just the right size for me to live in. But I think even if he hadn't, he would have shown up in other ways.
Yeah.
That even if I had worry about this specific issue of where I would live and God hadn't provided in this way, I think he would have provided in other ways. And maybe he would have done other things unrelated to a home or something. But I really believe that he calls us to follow, and he's going to open the doors that he knows that we're going to struggle with. And then there are other moments when he's going to say, I need you to trust me, even if it doesn't make sense. And even if I haven't seen the full provision of what he's going to do, I'm going to keep following him because he has shown himself to be worthy to be trusted, you know.
Yeah. So. Now, I noticed that, you know, in verse 4, it said Abram was 75 years old. And it sounds like, you know, you're not 75, so you're kind
I'm
of,
not.
You have a head start on this faith journey of moving, right? So you're probably like 40 years younger. So that's, you know, so it's great that you're really taking this passage and saying, hey, you know, this is where God has spoken to me, and, you know, time and time again, because it seems like this passage came up several times in your process. What are some of the other things from this passage that God spoke to you about?
Yeah, about a month before making the drive out here, I was talking with one of my mentors back in Wheaton, and he was asking me, because he knew that this passage had come up repeatedly for me in the past year. And so he actually asked me how have I seen God work through this scripture in my life in the last month or so. And I think at that point I had not really thought about it, because really the majority of those moments had been last summer or in the fall. And so now I was at this point where I knew I was heading out west eventually, and God was providing in different ways. And so it was not so much God calling me at that point, but me already beginning to make the move of leaving everything behind and going on this journey to follow God where I was where he was leading me. And so I think that question made me think and made me process this passage again. And so the verses that really stuck out to me were in verses 7 and 8. And so this is after Abram is now in the land that God has given him. And God reveals that this is what I have for you. And Abram's response to that is, so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he, Abram, built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And as I was thinking through that and talking that through with my mentor, I think that the thought occurred to me that a lot of times I get really wrapped up in this like process of, what is God doing? How am I, how is he calling me? And I have to trust him, and I'm worried or I have doubt, but he shows himself to be good. And I never get to that point where Abram is realizing what God has done, or is seeing the realized dream that God has given him, right? He's in the land, he sees the land that God has given him. And very often I look at like what's coming rather than looking at where I'm at right now. And so Abram's response in that was to worship, right? That as he sees God coming through and showing up in his life, he responds by building an altar and worshiping. And so I was talking with my mentor, and he suggested, like, maybe that's something you should do, is be intentional about stopping somewhere on your journey, especially on this long drive, 37-hour drive from Chicago to California, and stopping to spend some time in worship. And so on my drive here, we did that. We spent, you know, on the last day of the drive, we're driving through Nevada, where there's like a whole lot of nothing, like for hours, just nothing. And then all of a sudden we see this sign that says like, welcome to California. And I think we're like up near Lake Tahoe at that point, and you're coming down from Lake Tahoe to the Bay Area, and it's just like trees and forest. And so I was with a buddy driving together, and so we intentionally stopped after we crossed the border, I think we were going to worship and pray, and I thought, well, maybe like at this like little overlook that we stopped at, there are some like rocks on the ground, and so we took a bunch of rocks from the thing and like built a little an altar to the Lord there. You know, we didn't sacrifice anything on this tiny pebble. altar, but we did stop to pray and to worship and to remember that God is good and he's faithful. And I think that's the part that God is still doing in me, is that he's reminding me that as I trust him and I remember that he is worthy to be trusted, I need to respond in worship, that he deserves the glory in this story, right? It's not my story. It's not my journey or my narrative. It's God's story that he's inviting me into. And as the author of that story, he really needs to get the credit and the worship for that.
I know you're sharing that, not just because of your new position as worship pastor, but because even as believers, you know, God calls us to live a life of worship. And yeah. So many times we forget how God has led, and we forget what God is doing, and we're not intentional. We don't get out of the car, pull aside, find some pebbles and build an altar and worship. And I think that's part of a good reminder for us is that, you know, during this time of sheltering in place, how are we worshiping? What are we thankful to God for? Are we building an altar to the Lord and remembering his goodness, remembering his provision, remembering all the things that he has called us to, but also all the things that he is bringing us through, and just bowing down, worshiping him and exalting his name?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great reminder. Anything else in this passage that kind of the Lord has been speaking to you about?
Yeah, and I don't think, not a whole lot, other than the reality that Abram's story is not wrapped up in just these 9 verses, and that God still has a lot for him to do. God shows up in a lot of different ways. And Abram, even in his own journey, it's not perfect, right? He makes mistakes. There are moments when he's not sure of God continuing to fulfill the promises that he's made to him. Sure, he's in the land now, but what about the provision of family and all those other things? And I think probably for me, the last reminder is that in my own story, that God, even as he's leading me and bring me into new places, that there's still more that he's doing. And I need to trust that. And there will be other moments where I'm going to have to just trust that God is who he says he is. And he's going to do what he says he will do. And my responsibility is to be faithful to what he's called me to do.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, this is only the beginning of Abram's journey. His name hasn't even been changed to Abraham yet. And so in a sense, there's so many parallels that we see, right? Even as God has brought you here to San Jose to be with us in San Jose and at New Vine, that God is still writing your story. And this is, in a sense, a new chapter in your life and even in the life of our churches, you know, as we welcome you, Pastor John, you know, as our new worship pastor. So thank you so much for just sharing your heart with us, some of these things that God has been doing in your life and teaching you. You know, and brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that even as we've just read the story of Abram and how God called Abram to leave his land of familiarity, you know, his comforts. And God may not be calling us to move across the country like he called you, Pastor John, but you know, what is it that God is saying to you in your faith journey? Is there something that God has been talking to you about during these last few months that he wants you to perhaps do for him, to take a step of faith? Maybe it's not all clear. Maybe you don't know the specifics. Maybe you don't know that it's San Jose or that it's, you know, what is it, Mora, was it, that he ended up in?
The land of Canaan,
right? Yeah. Basically, right? So maybe perhaps God hasn't made it very clear yet, but perhaps God is just saying, trust me in this, take a step of faith, and then I will show you. Because we see in Abram's case, and even Pastor John, in your case, until you were fully surrendered and submitted, God didn't make it very clear. But once you submitted and surrendered, that's when things started becoming clearer.
And I think I want to be clear that just because I surrendered didn't mean that God had to show up immediately. He did in many ways. But he calls us to do that even when it doesn't seem like he is showing up right away.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just have to trust that he will, even if we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
And that's faith, right?
Right.
Is believing even though we do not see what he's doing.
Yeah. So true. So brothers and sisters, you know, I want to really encourage you today that whatever thing you are facing, that the Lord wants to build our faith. The Lord wants to build our trust in him. And that once we take a step of faith, God will show us the next step and even provide for us. And so I really want to bless you all to continue your faith journey with a renewed faith in God, that, you know, God, I want to surrender my my agenda. I want to ask you to continue to lead me to whatever promised land that you are leading me to. Whatever you are calling me to, will you surrender? And I think one of the things that really stuck out in our conversation is the fact that it's okay to wrestle.
Yeah.
Right? And it's okay to have fear. It's okay to have uncertainty. And if we let God show up in those places, he will, right?
Yes.
Like God meets us in our time of fear, in our time of uncertainty, and he will, like in your example, bring the same passage of, you know, Genesis chapter 12 several times in a span of like, what, 6 or 9 months,
yeah,
right? And just reminding Pastor John of God's faithfulness and of his calling. So I just wanna bless you, brothers and sisters, even as we close today, to continue your journey of faith, to remember what God did in Abram's life, and that, you know, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will continue to walk with us, continue to hold our hand as we trust him. So let's just close in a word of prayer and really commit ourselves to the Lord. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for just this brief sharing and really a charge from Pastor John. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in his life, and we commit him and his ministry here in the Bay Area to you. We ask, God, that you would continue to use the words from Genesis to speak to our lives. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would really show us, Lord, the things that you have called us to. Lord, whatever fears, whatever doubts, whatever uncertainties, that we would lay down at your feet, that we would say, God, I don't know about this, but I know that you're trustworthy. I know that you've been trustworthy in the past and that you will be trustworthy now and in the future. So Father, we pray for all of us, Lord, that whatever thing that it is that you have placed in our hearts, that we would be able to trust you with that, that we would take steps of faith and really go to the things that you have called us to do. Thank you, Jesus, for just your provision for us all these weeks, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would continue to help us to remember also, Lord, that we need to have intentional times where we build altars and where we worship, Lord, where our response should be one of praise. Our response should be one of just giving you the worth that you deserve. So God, we come before you today and we say, Lord, that we desire to be a people of worship. We desire to be a people that proclaim your praises. We desire to be a people that gives glory to your name. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to live a life of worship, Lord, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our places of work. Father, that we would give and bring you glory each day. Thank you, Jesus, for your promises today. Thank you, Lord, for your time together with your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would go before us now. We ask all these in your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So glad that you could join us today, church family. Just a quick reminder, once again, we will be on Zoom again right after the service, so please join us there. And then this week, we want to honor our elementary school graduates. So again, congratulations, class of 2020. And here's a quick view of who the graduates are from elementary school. Congratulations, and we'll see you soon on Zoom and next week.
Congratulations to all of the fifth graders getting promoted to sixth grade. I want to remind you this. I know it may be weird that we are doing this promotion and maybe your promotions have been online or over Zoom, but I want you to know this. God created you to be born and to graduate from fifth grade to be promoted to sixth grade in 2020 for a reason. He has called you and designed you to be born during this season for such a time as this, and he loves you and wants to use you for his kingdom. So as you embark on this new journey as in youth and going on to E2, I hand you over and pass the baton and pass you guys over to Pastor David. I love you, I miss you, and so grateful for the time we all got to spend with each other. May you walk as warriors for the kingdom of God, and may you be known as those who followed after Jesus with your whole heart. Love you guys.
Waking up knowing there's a reason. dreams come alive. Life is for living with you. I've made my decision. You lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder. For every young in your love, this freedom's untainted. With you, no moment is wasted. Living now.